Best.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It was boxing in the 1950s. You wait for the other guy, Carmen Basilio or something like that, to get a cut over their eye.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
And then you keep punching the cut over their eye.
None of them accused me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like the joke I told.
Over and over and over again. That's what they did to Bloomberg. She knew his weakness. It was the NDA, and she kept punching the spot, and it kept bleeding and bleeding.
Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements?
He had no way to stop it. Didn't have a cut, man.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
What a wonderful country we have. The best known socialist in the country happens to be a millionaire with three houses. What did I miss here?
Well, you'll miss that I work in Washington, house one.
That's the first problem.
Live in Burlington, house two.
That's good.
And like thousands of other Vermonters, I do have a summer camp. Forgive me for that.
This is not a summer camp.
Unchained and unstoppable.
The DNC is going to take it away from Bernie again.
I thought it was a great night for Bernie Sanders. I thought it was a great night for Donald Trump. I thought it was a terrible night for the Democrats.
It is a death sentence for the party, and it will lead to Donald Trump's reelection, in my view.
I just don't see him having any shot in a general election. I'm panicked. I am absolutely panicked.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Bloomberg bought a wallet to a gunfight. That's from a text there, but it's a really good line. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show, the day after. We'll be joined at the bottom of the hour by former Republican presidential candidate Pat Buchanan. He's been around for a long time, and I thought he would be a good person to talk to this afternoon. He was also in Chicago in 1968 for the Democrat convention. He was representing Richard Nixon's eyes and ears, and so he saw the riots firsthand. He can give us some insight into what might be happening in Milwaukee next summer should the DNC continue down this path to deny the nomination to the now prohibitive frontrunner, Bernie Sanders. 844-500-4242, if you'd like to join us, 844-500-4242. And with me is in Boston is Grace, and she's here with her news.
I am here with my news, Howie. Most of my news has to do with last night. I thought it was a really fascinating debate. The juxtaposition between having a billionaire on stage and all these people who claim to hate billionaires, even though most of them are millionaires, was just mind-boggling. It was all so strange. As far as I'm concerned, my take would be that I thought Mayor Pete looked really bad. I thought Bernie looked good only by default, only by the fact that all of the spotlight was on Bloomberg. It was like a godsend.
Grace, it doesn't matter how you win, does it? I mean, even if the ref has to throw the game for you.
Oh,
right?
No, I totally agree. But I'm just saying it wasn't that he had an exceptionally strong performance. He just, you know, was able to kind of get through it unscathed. Bloomberg obviously looked terrible. I mean, I didn't think he was the brightest bulb, but wow, I think I even underestimated that. He did not have anything ready to go. And then that answer that I put in the intro when he says, I've never done anything wrong to women except for maybe a few jokes they didn't like. I thought to myself, is he Michael Scott from The Office? Like, what's he bringing in blow-up dolls to work? Like, what kind of jokes is he making?
Kill it.
What kind of emails
is
this guy forwarding?
To the pregnant woman, kill it. That's a public document. That's not in the NDA. That's a public document. And, you know, he's got so much stuff, so many skeletons in the closet, stuff that we don't even know about that'll be coming out. There's 6 days or 5 days now to the next debate. You know what the fake Indian can come out with the next debate? I assume it's in South Carolina, Grace.
What?
You know, you called transgender people it.
Right.
You know, I plan to let a 9-year-old transgender pick my Secretary of Education. How dare you? How dare you?
It's just how dare you? So hysterical, too, that they keep... They took their eyes off the prize. Their usual shtick is that Donald Trump, orange bad, orange man equals bad, Donald Trump's ruining the world. But for once in all of these debates, they turn on each other hard. And it was beautiful. You had Pete
Barry
and Amy going at it. I loved her line, "Are you calling me dumb?" I just thought... and for him, it was such small potatoes. Like, you're going after someone who's barely any higher in the polls than you are. It's like when Kamala Harris... She went after someone, and it wasn't. If you're going to go after someone,
I think it was Bernie, wasn't it? No, it was Biden, wasn't it? About the busing, which, you know, again, she forgot that most people, black and white, didn't like busing back in the 1970s.
You know what I'm thinking of? How he was when Kamala went after Tulsi, like two debates too late, and I just kept thinking to myself, if you're going to go after someone, you got to go after someone who is at least higher than you. You can't start dipping down because you're desperate. And in this case, I just thought, Mayor Pete, go after the big guys. And the funny thing is, Howie, we talk about this a lot. Sometimes people do something in a debate that doesn't necessarily help them at all, but it helps someone else, and right, they kind of take the shot for them. And in this case, it was Elizabeth Warren. She grilled Mike Bloomberg, and apparently, according to, you know, the pundits, she had a great night of campaigning, fundraising. Yeah. But let's be real, she's dead in the water. What she did was she helped Bernie Sanders, because
they said the same thing about Chris Christie when he took out Marco Rubio 4 years ago, right?
Exactly. Sometimes you take someone out and you don't really benefit, but someone else on the stage does. Bernie Sanders is definitely going to benefit. I loved this morning, more than the cuts from last night, I loved pulling cuts of these old white liberal hacks on MSNBC and CNN pulling their hair out over the thought of Bernie Sanders winning this. It's on the wall, yeah. Howie. It's written on the wall. He is going to lose, as Chris Matthews said, 49 states. It's going to be a thing of beauty, and they see it about to happen. So the real question is now, are the Democrats going to respect the results of their own elections, or are they going to do what they've been known to do and just decide, you know, Tom Perez is going to decide who he thinks is going to win?
Well, we'll get a clue on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, won't we, when the results start coming in from the caucuses in Nevada. And if the results are inconclusive and they're having some problems with the apps, I think you'll know the answer, won't you, for the second caucus state in a row?
But, Howie, here's my question. Let's say that the results are conclusive. Let's say that Bernie Sanders sweeps and just wins. They don't have an option, right? Do they have to choose him? Or can they still decide to choose someone else?
I don't know what they're going to do. That's what I'm going to ask Pat, what he thinks they're going to do. I think that they're praying for this brokered convention, the mythical brokered convention. I checked today. You know the last time that these conventions, national political parties, went to a second ballot, Grace?
When?
You know, 1952. 1952, when Taft was running against Eisenhower on the Republican side, and Adlai Stevenson, the governor of Illinois, prevailed after a couple of ballots on the Democrat side. So it's been 68 years, and ever since then, is there going to be a brokered convention this year? And the answer is always no. But what they've thought about doing is they've got, I think, almost 800 superdelegates. That's how they stole the nomination from Bernie last time. All the superdelegates, quote unquote, voted for Hillary Clinton. And so this year, to reform the process and to calm down the Bernie bros, they said, well, the superdelegates will still be there. So, like, if you're an elected official, say you're the Secretary of State in Massachusetts, Bill Galvin, for instance, just as a he's a typical statewide office holder. He's a superdelegate. He doesn't have to run. Now, last time they got a vote on the first ballot, and there's almost 800 of them. This year, they can't vote until the second ballot. But you know what, Grace? Tom Perez, the chairman, he could call a special meeting of the DNC, and they could change the rules, like they changed the rules to allow Minnie Mike to be out on the stage in Clark County last night.
Howie, you just said possibly the most sketchy, slimy combination of words I've ever heard in one sentence. Tom Perez special meeting, the DNC. If I'm Bernie Sanders, I am scared. I'm thinking to myself, here we go again. And I have to say, I know that I want him to win because I want us to win, and I know that Trump will win if Bernie wins. But I also have to say, I do kind of want it for the Bernie bros. Like, yeah, he might lose, but if they deserve to have a shot at it, don't they? Isn't that what America's about? They've been for this guy for so long, and they keep getting screwed. I want them to have their shot in the sun, if only for the fact that we can say, sorry, Bernie bros. You know, light one up tonight because it's not happening. But they deserve to try.
I think, I don't know. I don't know how they can deny it to him, though. Especially if he wins, if he wins Nevada and they don't say it's inconclusive and there are problems counting, and then he wins South Carolina, that should propel him into just a string of victories on Super Tuesday.
But Howie, Donnie Deutsch is scared. He's panicked. He said, I'm panicking. Is anyone else panicking? Joe, Mika? Is anyone panicking?
Yeah. Why don't you play the... Donnie Deutsch was so panicked this morning that he dropped his New York street accent
and reverted to
his real prep school accent today. That's how appalled he was. Where is that cut? Cut 21.
The man they're all running against, Donald J. Trump, hardly took any fire at all.
Get off scot-free. Yeah, I thought the two big winners last night were Bernie, because he's on his way to locking up this nomination if things keep going the way they are, and Donald Trump, who nobody laid a glove on him. They were too busy tearing each other to shreds.
And to pick up on your point, the big winner in spades was Donald J. Trump. He was most concerned about Bloomberg. He is salivating at the thought of Bernie Sanders. Joe, is anybody anybody panicked besides me in that it does look like Sanders is rolling and that two-thirds of this country thinks we're going in the right direction and you have a guy who wants to burn it down? To me, I just don't see him having any shot in a general election. I'm panicked. I am absolutely panicked.
Howie.
I'm so panicked I've forgotten to pretend that I'm from the Lower East Side.
Guys, does anyone feel like the walls are closing in? Does anyone feel like the noose is tightening? I feel like the noose is tightening, Joe.
Two-thirds of Americans think we're going in the right direction. The economy's great. 90% of Americans are satisfied with their life. I'm panicked.
I love how they say that, too. Like, two-thirds of Americans, they think that Donald Trump's better for them. How about we trust them? How about we say they know that Donald Trump's better for them? It's always this obnoxious, you know, they're convinced. You know, they're brainwashed into thinking this. It's so ridiculous. How, when we get back on the other side, there's a great Boston Globe article, and I'm just going to read the title to tease it for everyone. In the Democratic primary, my dog is voting for... .. and there's a big picture of a golden retriever. And guess who it is?
Could it possibly be Bailey?
Bailey
the Wonder Dog?
Bailey's back.
Bailey got another puff piece in the Globe today. Oh, how unexpected. All right, we'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Hearing Help Express. Order your free hearing loss information kit today for yourself or a loved one. Call 1-800-353-5200. That's 1-800-353-5200. Matt, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will the DNC let Bernie be the nominee?
I personally don't think they have much choice, so I'm going to say yes. But I understand that there's arguments to be made on the other side here. What are the results?
Only 18% agree with you. 82% say no.
All right. Okay, Grace, what do you got? You got a store, another puff piece, another slobbering profile of a slobbering golden retriever?
Yes, I do, Howie. But before I give you Bailey's little moment in the sunshine, I wanted to tell everyone that we still have a few cheap bastard deals left for the Still Bar and Grill. I was checking out the menu yesterday because I plan on hitting up the Still Bar and Grill, and I have to say the burgers, mwah, they look divine. They're open for lunch, for dinner. We get a lot of people in Western Mass telling us, you know, I don't get the cheap bastard deals. I can't make it here. I can't make it there. So we brought it to you. It's the Still Bar and Grill.
Agawam, Massachusetts.
Go to HowieKarsha.com. Click on store. We have gift cards that are worth $50 and they're on sale for $25. That's a really good deal. Limited supplies. Check it out.
And they serve sometimes Iron Duke beer, named after the famous indicted House Speaker of Massachusetts, John Forbes Thompson, a.k.a. the Iron Duke. He will be mentioned in my column in the Boston Herald tomorrow, by the way, the Iron Duke.
More importantly, if you're planning on watching a debate or something, they serve craft cocktails. Which, if you were watching last night, you needed more than just a beer. Guys, I have a story here, Howie, and it's very interesting. It says, in the Democratic primary, my dog is voting for. And then the article goes on to have a fake conversation with the dog. So the writer says, you know, oh, like, who are you going to vote for? And the dog says,
how Boston Globe is it? A fake conversation with a dog.
I know. It's rough, let me tell you. It says, this is the dog Mika. The dog Mika says, you know, New York City mayor...
Mika is a dog?
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
You know, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio allocated $10 million for animal shelters in Queens and the Bronx, right? And then the author says, I didn't know that. Unfortunately, he's no longer running for president. And then it goes on to say, yeah, I'm saving the world one bone at a time. Did you see that Senator Elizabeth Warren's golden retriever has his own Twitter feed at First Dog Bailey? He hasn't posted much since Iowa, I notice. And the writer says, well, there's not much to say when you're at Fifth Dog Bailey. Which I thought was a pretty funny line. But they put in a real tweet from Bailey's Twitter account. I did not know that Bailey had a Twitter. And now that I know, I think we have to keep a closer eye on this. But this is what Bailey said. Hi, I'm Bailey Warren. I like long walks, belly rubs, and financial regulations that hold billionaires and corporations accountable.
Wait a second. Why is his name Bailey Warren? Why isn't his name Bailey Mann? That's her husband's name. Shouldn't his name be Bailey Warren Mann or Bailey Mann Warren?
It's 2020, Howie. Just because Bruce Mann has nice legs doesn't mean the dog has to take his last name. Okay, get with it. Legs.
There is a picture, I assume, of Bailey, the wonder dog.
Yes, and I have to say, I mean, I know we give Elizabeth Warren a lot of crap on this show, but Bailey's a beautiful dog. There's no question. You can't beat a golden retriever.
Well, the French poodle did last week at the Westminster Dog Show.
Yes, technically you can beat a golden retriever. So back to this debate, Howie. I have some more thoughts. I thought... I don't know. I thought Bernie did good. I thought Chuck Todd asked some weak questions. Actually, can we play this cut? Chuck Todd actually asked Bloomberg if he should exist, which I thought
that was a good question, but go ahead.
This is cut 31. Oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. But Pat Buchanan is on next. He's one of my favorite guests. And Howie, I'm sure he's got a lot to say about all these.
We're going to have some fun in the next segment. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And one veteran Republican political operative and politician who understands what happens when Democrats go crazy at a convention is Pat Buchanan. He was there at the Chicago convention in 1968 when there were literally riots in the street. And I thought he would be a perfect person to talk to after last night's slugfest in Las Vegas. Pat Buchanan, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Good to talk with you, Howie.
What's your takeaway from last night's debate?
Well, I think Mayor Mike Bloomberg learned what it's like to be thrown up against a wall and frisked. It didn't even start before she was calling. What? Yeah. Would you, until Elizabeth, before Elizabeth Warren was cutting loose with a billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse faced lesbians. I was laughing.
I know
she got done.
He looked at she looked at she looked at him. She looked at him and she said, "Kill it, kill it."
Oh, but it was, I tell you, that was the darndest thing I've ever seen as a debate. The savagery going back and forth. It was all unleashed. And, you know, when you consider how boring some of them were a little while ago, I've never seen a debate quite like this. And I think it's pretty important. I don't know how it's going to come out for Bloomberg, but clearly, if I were him, I told my wife, I said, I would go back and find the advisor who said we ought to debate before Nevada.
I know. Well, Kellyanne Conway had a great tweet last night. She said he should fire two groups of people. Number one, the people who told him that he should go into the debate, and number two, the people who were telling him that he did a great job in the debate. I mean,
well,
how do you run for mayor?
How serious and permanent is the damage? I mean, he's put in $300-400 million in ads. You better start dumping some more in.
Well, that's
a lot of them.
That's what Elizabeth Warren said last night. She said it twice. We'll play the second cut. Play cut 25, just so we can. This is what she said, and I think it's the point you're making, Pat. Elizabeth Warren, go ahead. Cut 25.
I have no doubt that coming off that debate stage, that Michael Bloomberg is reaching in his pocket and dropping another $100 million in advertising across this country just to try to erase the memory of what happened on that debate stage. Well, the only way to keep that memory alive is to be able to get out there and talk about it and push it in front of people and push it in front of Michael Bloomberg. So I ask everybody to go to ElizabethWarren.com.
She said it over. She said that at least twice last night at various interviews in the spin room. So she's trying to get it out. But you know, it is a good question though. I mean, there was a big audience for a debate, 13 million in this cycle. But still, that's a pretty small audience compared to how many people are going to go home tonight in the Super Tuesday states and see Bloomberg's paid media. You know.
You know, it's exactly right. Let me take Virginia. I saw somewhere where Bloomberg has put $4 million here into Virginia, and Trump has put in $1,400, and no one else has spent a dime. And Bloomberg, I think, is leading here in Virginia on Super Tuesday. So, I mean, he may have gotten a lot of this fixed in, but there's no doubt he was hurt badly last night. And I read an analyst who also said he also showed something else. First, not only did he get hit, but he didn't react, and he showed the persona of an iguana on that stage. You know, he was not reacting at all. He sit there and let him beat him. He was looking forward straight. There was no passion, no energy, no fire, no extra dimension, no communication abilities. And he just sort of, you know, was terse and short. So, I mean, the image and impression he left and is what was with millions of people, and it's going to be repeated because of all the clips that are taken from the debate, I think that's going to do some damage to him. But again, you're right. I wonder if it's going to amount to much when another couple hundred million in ads is put on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down here in Florida off and on this winter, and the stats down here, again, it's a bigger state, $11 million. He spent $11 million just in the state of Florida, and I'll bet he spends another $5 or $10 million before Super Tuesday. It's really something. Now, what do you think's going to happen? You know, it looks like Bernie is going to sweep Nevada. He's probably going to, with the implosion of Biden, he's going to probably win South Carolina. What's going to happen in Milwaukee? And remind people who weren't there, who were forgotten or weren't even born, what happened in Chicago in 1968 when the Democratic establishment tried to force feed a really bad candidate down the party's throat.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen, I think, in the race this year is that that Bernie is going to win Nevada. He'll come in first or second in South Carolina and still gain some momentum. And I think it's going to be him and Bloomberg from there on out, because I think Klobuchar and Warren and Biden and Mayor Pete are going to stay in the race and maybe even Steyer and split that other vote so that Bernie wins in any number of places where he might lose if it were one-on-one. And I think they'll go to the convention. I think Bernie's going to win. It's going to have so many delegates, a prohibitive plurality, if not a majority, that he'll get the nomination. But with Chicago, that, of course, was a convention that was held after Bobby Kennedy was shot in June of that year, and Martin Luther King had been shot in April, and Johnson had dropped out, and so Hubert Humphrey had come in as Johnson's man and gone to the convention, and all the guys had engineered a victory for him.
Yeah.
And the demonstrators came in the thousands there right out in front of the hotel I was in, what we called the Comrade Hilton Hotel there on Michigan Avenue. And I was on the 19th floor with a character named Norman Mailer and Jose Torres, a fighter who had come up to this room where we had sort of a Republican suite there, and I was managing it. And they came in for drinks, and we looked out the window when those cops came down Balbo and cut into that park and beat the daylights out of those demonstrators and
those
rioters.
Yippies.
Yep, they
yippies.
Were a horrible
That's
bunch.
What they call themselves, yeah. Yeah,
I'd
Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman and Bobby Seale, Tom Hayden, the future Mr. Jane Fonda,
Chicago
all those people.
8.
Yeah, exactly.
Chicago 8, I think it became the Chicago 7.
Right,
when,
they kicked Seale out.
Bobby Seale was acting up and had to tie him to his chair and move him out.
Right.
But it was an explosion, and Hunter Thompson was there, and he said that... made a good observation. He said that Richard Nixon was elected because of what happened in the streets of Chicago that night in front of the Comrade Hilton Hotel.
Yeah, and you know, you must have thought about that when you saw those Project Veritas videos with that guy in Iowa, the Bernie guy, who said he didn't know, he couldn't remember the year of the riots, but he said there's going to be another Chicago if they take it away from us. We're going to burn. Well, he said we're going to burn down Milwaukee.
Well, I think, look, if they take it away from Bernie, and Bernie comes in with a plurality of delegates or a majority, overwhelming majority. I think they will. I don't think they're going to. I think, and the only way they're going to get it from him is through Bloomberg's money and collusion. Because Bernie, I think, is going to go there with the most delegates. And so, I mean, and these folks, from what I hear out there in Nevada, I mean, they're not too amenable to being mistreated.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they've been writing on these Twitters and things, but from what you hear, they're a pretty rough crowd, Bernie's bros.
Yeah, well, they're threatening. I mean, Pat, what I've been thinking is, look, you know, you read the news accounts every day. These Bernie bros, they're winning, and they're beating people up in New Hampshire. They're knocking off hats in Florida. They're trying to burn down Republican headquarters in California. They're vandalizing Republican headquarters in North Carolina. I mean, and they're winning. What are they going to do if they start losing, Pat?
Well, I think I wouldn't want to be in the Milwaukee Convention Hall or just outside, frankly, if something like that happened. But, you know, I just don't think I've seen some Democrats who say themselves, look, if you take the nomination away from Bernie when he's won the overwhelming majority of the delegates or a plurality, who are you going to give it to? Are you going to give it to the
right.
same guy we described as a racist, a sexist, and a misogynist
right.
last night? You're going to give it to Bernie, you're going to give it to Mayor Bloomberg? I mean, he's not even a Democrat. He's a Republican.
Right.
Or was a Republican.
Endorsed George W. Bush in 2004.
Yep. It's because of the Great War.
Right. Right. I don't know what they're going to do. And you know they're out of great white hopes, you know? I mean, it's certainly not going to be Hillary Clinton, is it? You know?
I think John Kerry can come in and save us all.
I'm ready, Lovey. I'm ready.
Well, it's really good. You know, this is really, this is in a way historic. And I do think this, the next 10 days, I mean, how well Bernie does in South Carolina. I agree with you. I think he's going to win Nevada. If he wins South Carolina, he's going to get further momentum, and he's going to be propelled in there. We're going to see how Bloomberg recovers. And I think that Bernie was going to come out of there with some real momentum. And all through those Super Tuesday, Biden's going to be on the ballot. They're not going to win. Maybe they're not going to get 15%. But they're getting 6 and 10 and 12%. Those are coming out of the basket that Mayor Bloomberg needs. I understand why Bloomberg's guys are saying, you guys got to get out of the race and give us a clear field and we can stop him. But if you don't, you're going to get Bernie, socialism, a 40-state loss, and a second term for Donald Trump. How do you like those apples?
Yeah, well, to which my response would be, if I were one of the candidates being told to get out, I've been on the rubber chicken circuit. Yeah, where the hell have you been? I love that Bernie the other day was saying, why should he be on the debate stage? He hasn't worked for this. And I thought to myself, wait a second, Bernie, I thought your whole platform was free stuff for everybody. Now you're worried that Bloomberg hasn't earned his way onto the platform? I mean, these guys are really hoist on their own petard, aren't they?
I wouldn't get out.
If I were a candidate.
Look, if I were Mayor Pete, I'd say, look, why don't you get out and set up one of those special, you know, election funding organizations and move me along? You know, I've been a Democrat all my life, or somebody, or Klobuchar say the same thing. Why don't you get out, Mayor Bloomberg?
Right. Right. Well, Mayor Pete made that point last night. He said, so in a couple of weeks, it could come down to a Republican and a socialist as the only candidates for the Democrat nomination. And there's some
exactly.
truth to that.
I mean, there's a lot of it. I mean, I do think we're entering a period now when you see where Trump walked in and took the Republican nomination himself. And Bloomberg is now taking this. I think all these folks with billions of dollars are probably going to be looking at Senate seats and things like that.
Yeah, I know. Well, Steyer was angry. He couldn't get onto the debate stage last night, and he was saying, "Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me?"
Well, listen, Steyer's going to do pretty well, I think, in South Carolina and take votes away, African American votes. I think he's been working that community very hard. And I think he could take African-American votes away from Joe and give that state to Bernie.
It's something. How many states you think Trump's looking at if you had to bet today?
It depends. If I had to say, look at Bernie, I'd start looking at 40 states. I think Bernie would have trouble down here in Virginia. I mean, a socialist, Northern Virginia? I mean, these are affluent folks I'm living among here. How are you?
What, seven of the 10 most affluent counties in the United States are in the Beltway area, right?
Well, they are, and it's not the place I grew up in when I grew up in D.C. during World War II in the 1950s, I'll tell you.
No.
The government workers that had all those houses in Inner Chevy Chase, they weren't making, million-dollar salaries.
Yeah, and the FBI wasn't framing Republican political operatives either for the benefit of Democrats either. The deep state is really running out of control, Pat, but that's a subject for another day. Thanks so much for being with us. You got any book you want to promote? The book about the 68, you know, your reminiscences of the Nixon days and working for...
It did very well. It's called on Nixon, The Greatest Comeback, and it covers Richard Nixon from 1965, when I joined up, 1965, 66, all the way through to 68. There's a whole chapter on that convention at Chicago.
Yeah. The past is prologue, Pat. That's what they always say, right? It may be true again this year.
Yep.
Thanks.
We'll wait and see. Okay, my friend.
Thanks for being with us. That's Pat Buchanan, former Republican candidate for president. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
Speaking of Hunter S. Thompson, this is the 15th anniversary of his suicide in 2005. He, believe it or not, he was a big John Kerry guy. He was very depressed about John Kerry losing. And he was also very depressed about the end of the football season. And, of course, he had a severe drinking problem, and that led to his depression, and he took his own life. Anyway, 844-500-4242. It's always great to talk to Pat Buchanan. Arthur, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Arthur.
Thanks, Howie. And you're right, Pat Buchanan is one of the people for the longest time has been an interesting guy and wrote a lot of great books. But anyway, you know, when Bernie Sanders was first running against Hillary, they were going to do everything to get Hillary, and Bernie Sanders was going to be just a token candidate that they didn't,
right.
And the biggest nut in the Senate that nobody took seriously, and nobody thought that he was going to garner anything. But the thing that they forgot, Howie, was that he was a socialist and a communist, and all these Democratic professors that were in all the colleges all had communist leanings, so they were already priming these students to find a leader, and he was it. They never thought that he would get all that support, and now they're paying for it.
Right. You know, you can start a revolution, Arthur, but you never know how the revolution's going to turn out. It's like anything else. It's like starting a fight in a bar, right? You know, you don't know what's going to happen. You could get your job broken, too. And that's what's happened to these people. They thought they could ride the tiger, and now the tiger's eating them. And I find it very hard to feel sorry for them. I think, you know, the other thing, too, is that I think as Republicans who live in states with open primaries on Super Tuesday begin to see how things are going, I think a lot of Republicans are now, you know, even though Rush isn't, you know, officially encouraging another Operation Chaos to select a weaker Democratic nominee, I think a lot of people are going to be tempted to take a Democrat ballot and vote for Bernie Sanders. I know I am, Arthur.
Well, you're 100% right, because he needs to get more support.
Yeah. I don't mind voting for him. I'm now a registered voter in Florida. Bernie and Bloomberg are running neck and neck. I think I'm taking a Democrat ballot down at St. Edward's. I'm Howie Carr.